Now, if you're like most people, I think, in the church, we never batted an eye to when the Holy Days started. I, like the vast majority of church members, relied on that little wallet card that we used to carry around so faithfully. At the drop of a hat, we could whip out our trusty wallet calendar and be able to determine when the Holy Days were for a 5-year period of time. This was part of our identity, and we wore it proudly. I know I certainly did. I remember telling my boss at Nortel in 1996 that I could tell him my time off for the next 5 years. He probably shook his head and thought, this guy's odd. And I guess rightfully so. And for many, that was as far as our research went into the calendar. After all, there have been many people before us that have studied it, and therefore it must be correct. Now, that is not tearing anyone down. Or in the same breath, I'm not trying to lift myself up. That was, and in some areas, is still the culture in the church. It must be right. Somebody else looked into it before us. Now, as you're all well aware, today is April 25th, 2026, and the majority of the churches of God have already kept Passover and the days of unleavened bread. However, to have done so is to rely on something that cannot be proved from the scriptures. So today in this sermonette, I want to discuss a specific mechanic of the Hebrew calendar, Jewish calendar, in fact, I'll call it. And that specific mechanic is the new moon nearest the spring equinox. I've spoken before on the new moon nearest the spring equinox back in 2024, so we're going to cover this by way of review. And now if you're wondering what that means, the new moon nearest the spring equinox, or if you've forgotten, I will quickly explain it again. In the Jewish calendar, there are some years where the correct new moon is chosen, and there's other years where it is not. The reason is the new moon nearest the spring equinox. Now, if you think this is an anomaly, let me expand your understanding. The Church of God in the modern era traces its keeping of God's holy days back to 1934, before any one of us in this room was born. There have been 27 occurrences, including this year, that the new moon before the spring equinox was chosen to start the year. Jacob, can you flash up slide one, please? So as you can see the slide on the screen, and hopefully we shared it to those online that they can see it as well, you can see there's four yellow highlighted cells. Well, eight, but 1937, 1956, 1994, 2013. Now, what makes those, the reason why I highlighted them is if you look at when the March new moon was, March 12th, March 12th, March 12th, and March 11th. Why is that important? So this year, actually what this means is the Jews actually have a rule. And their rule is they will only allow that new moon before the spring equinox to be as far back as 9 days before the equinox. Anything longer, it will not, they will actually use the new moon after. So they'll allow up to 9 days before the equinox as their reasoning. Please show slide two. Now I've shown this slide before, and if you'll notice, each row highlighted in blue started the year with the new moon before the nearest spring equinox. And at the bottom row, indicates that this year, 2026, down here, is no different. This year, For the Jewish calendar, Abib 1 was March 19th, which is why Passover began with the sunset beginning of April 1st. So if you go to slide 3. So this is the actual 2026 vernal equinox and the new moon conjunction for March. So what I'm trying to show here is in the bottom left, the little rectangular box says the lunar conjunction occurred at 3:23 a.m. on Thursday, March 19th at 2026. The vernal equinox actually occurred at 4:46 p.m. on Friday, March 20th, 2026. So since that new moon was so close to the equinox within that 9-day window, that's an acceptable point to start the year. However, there is a 24-hour and 23-minute difference between the two. This is close enough, again, by Jewish standards. God is okay with fudging it a bit here and there, right? What's 24 hours and 23 minutes among friends? The logic here is that depending on when the new moon falls, again, before the spring equinox, determines which new moon is chosen to start that year. Now, again, at face value, that may sound logical, but it exposes that the Jewish calendar is inconsistent at best and is nothing more than the traditions of men at worst. Another piece of this puzzle is that the Jewish calendar is based on molads, invisible conjunctions. It's a fictitious time that's calculated to determine when the lunar conjunction is. And of course, this means it is subject to error, and it can be up to 15 hours in error than the actual real new moon conjunction. So now when the new moon is after the spring equinox, this discussion is never an issue. Therefore, to choose the new moon before, or the new moon nearest the spring equinox, which is always before, you're effectively starting the year in the winter. The Jews have even placed a limit on this, and I mentioned it, I'll just recap it. They will not allow you to go longer than 9 days before the equinox. So this will allow the earliest start of the year to be March 11th or 12th, which again, as the first slide showed, happened in 1937, 1956, 1994, and 2013. Quoting Frank Nelty in his article, The New Moon Nearest the Spring Equinox, he writes, and I quote, "Therefore, when there is a new moon 10 days before the equinox, then the following new moon is used to start the year." So that'd be the one after the equinox. "When there is a new moon 11 days before the equinox, then the following new moon is also used to start the year. When there is a new moon 12 days and 13 days and 14 days before the equinox, then in each case, the following new moon is used to start the year. Therefore, whenever there is a new moon from 10 to 14 days before the equinox, and then thus obviously the new moon closest to the equinox, then in our age, that new moon is not used to start the year, the one before, and instead the following, or the further away equinox, the new moon further away from the equinox is used to start the year." And I sincerely ask anybody who observes the Jewish calendar to show me a scripture or a scriptural principle where this concept is revealed. Brethren, it does not exist. In fact, I will show you that it actually violates Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 14 through 16. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. And it reads, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Now verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. So the Bible shows that there are two great lights, and they're both used to determine the days and the seasons, and yet the sun takes precedence over the moon. Psalm 89, verse 37, and you don't have to turn there, it records that the moon is a faithful witness. And I ask, brethren, should a faithful witness be ignored? God forbid. The Bible does not present a solar-only calendar, as some proclaim. Therefore, to start the new year with the new moon nearest the spring equinox results in the rule of the sun over the moon being destroyed. The vernal or spring equinox occurred this year, in 2013. Jacob, if you go back to that slide, please. Yeah, that one right there. Thank you. You read my mind. It occurred March 20th at 1:10 p.m. in 2013. On the Church of God calendar slide, which is this one here, Passover then was observed on March 25th. So if Passover was March 25th, and you take away 14 days for Abib 1, that makes March 11th, 2013, at sunset, the start of the sacred year. This again is 9 days before the spring equinox. And that puts the first day of the sacred year of the month of Adar in the winter rather than starting in Abib. So again, they started the year in the winter. Now to bring this up to our Roman months and our concept of what it would be like for us today, this would move January 1st, which we all know is the start of the year, back to December 23rd at sunset. What would you do if all of a sudden they came on the news and said, oh, by the way, this year we're starting the year at December 23rd? You'd think they're nuts. Well, the church says that God's year starts in the spring. 6 out of every 19 years in the Jewish calendar actually start in the winter. And from the graphic that I showed on slide 2, the problem, this slide here, shows that the problem happened in 2015, 2018, 2021, and has happened this year in 2026. And it will also happen again in 2029. And again, the key to spotting this situation is any Passover date that is April 3rd or earlier means that the first day of the sacred year began before the spring equinox. Now let's move to a fancy-sounding concept called intercalation. Now this word applies more to than just calendars. Intercalation is the insertion of an element or layer between existing ones, commonly used in chemistry, timekeeping, geology, and education. From a timekeeping perspective, the addition of a leap day, February 29th, which we're all familiar with, to the Gregorian calendar every 4 years, or intercalary months in the lunisolar calendar, the Jewish calendar, ensures that the calendar matches the solar year. This mechanic of the Jewish calendar is used to keep it within its seasons. And this prevents seasonal drift, the same way the Gregorian calendar dropped 10 days upon its inception in 1582, where October 4th, 1582, became October 15th, 1582. The Gregorian calendar also changed the formula for leap years to prevent further drift. Now, the Julian calendar had a 365.25-day year, which the solar year is actually 365.2422. Math we don't really pay attention to. However, this results in a one-day error every 128 years. So the insertion of a month is used by the Jews and is referred to as Adar 2, and a name that you cannot find in Scripture. That point can be conceded. However, there is evidence of it in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to read a quote from the 1966 Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 4, page 624. And it took me about 4 hours to find this online, but I did finally find it. Here's the quote. Again, this is 1966. Intercalation already evident from Ezekiel 1:1, Ezekiel 3:15, Ezekiel 4, verses 4 through 6, and Ezekiel 8, verse 1, was at first empirical. An intercalary month being added for various reasons at irregular intervals. The length of each of the months was determined from the observation of witnesses who reported having seen a new crescent moon and who were carefully questioned by the authorities, at first perhaps the priests and eventually the Sanhedrin. While the length of the year varied from 352 to 356 days, or if a leap year, from 382 to 386 days. End of quote. Now, it's actually Ezekiel 4, verses 4 through 6, if you turn there. We'll read that. This gives the strongest indication of intercalation. Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And it reads, "Lie thou upon thy left side, and lay thy iniquity, lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity according to the number of the days, 390 days, so an additional 30 days. So thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. And I have appointed thee each day for a year." Now, the real new moon calendar, as we've coined it, does experience intercalation. And the simple and beautiful thing is that it does not require any mental gymnastics or calculations or human determination. It is all done by God. All it requires is to determine whether the new moon is before the spring equinox or whether it is after. If it is before, the decision is already made for you. You intercalate a full month. The new moon, that is delayed. Not hard to understand and not hard to implement. So for 2026, the first day of the first new moon of God's new year was on April 17th at 4:51 p.m. Jerusalem time. And all the times, by the way, that were in that first chart were Jerusalem time. Please show slide number 4, Jacob. There we go. Thank you. This is the new moon for April. And it occurred, again, at 2:51 p.m. on Friday, April 17th. And so once we know that we don't start a day within a day, we wait till sunset. And so the first day of the sacred year was Saturday, April 18th. That began at sunset of Friday evening. Now, every one of us can walk outside and look up at the heavenly bodies on a clear night. And we can look up in awe and wonder of the mind that created it all. We would all agree that the mind behind it is very precise. And due to the sheer complexity of the laws that govern the universe, we know that it was not a chance happening. Brethren, God, or we could say Jesus Christ, is very precise. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. This verse explains that it was Christ who created all things. So it reads, verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. So if you've ever read the book, The Case for a Creator, by Lee Strobel, it outlines how precise the universe is. He makes an analogy of there being 100 dials across the universe of 15 billion light years. And he makes the comment that each of these dials may have billions or even trillions of settings. Each dial has the exact precision, perfectly calibrated so life can exist. The force of gravity is finely tuned, he remarked, to an incomprehensible degree so that life can exist. How finely tuned, you ask? Imagine a ruler, he said, that stretches across the entire universe, 15 billion light years, that is broken down in 1-inch increments. That represents the range that the force of gravity could be calibrated. It is calibrated so precisely that if you change the force of gravity 1 inch along that 15 billion light year long ruler, the possibility of intelligent life would be impossible anywhere in the universe. So let's apply that one law to the order of the universe and to the calendar. I submit to you that God has provided everything we need in the Hebrew scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, in order to know how to worship Him on the correct days. Yes, I'm saying that by not relying on the heavenly bodies that God created and obeying the greater light over the lesser light, the Christian who follows the Jewish calendar is not keeping the holy days on the correct days. Have we ever thought that those in the church could be guilty of Isaiah 1:14? Turn there if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 14. And God remarks to Judah, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, and I am weary to bear them. Chief, can you show slide number 5? The first day of God's new year will be, or was, actually, because we're April 25th, was Monday, April 20th. As sunset begins, this makes the Passover begin with the sunset on April 30th, the end of that day. This makes the first day of unleavened bread, May 1st, at sunset. This corresponds to the full moon in the month of May, the 15th of Abib, as Scripture instructs. And so what I'm trying to show in this light is the night to be much observed is here, and the full moon occurs on the 15th. Please show slide 6. This is the 2026 Jewish calendar spring holy day timing. Now, the Jewish calendar spring holy day timing will also have the full moon on what was the 15th of their Abib, but its fall holy day timing is what matters. But just hang on. So again, this is the 15th of Abib. The full moon occurred at 5:11 a.m. All good, right? Next slide, Jacob. However, the fall holy day timing, we have an issue. And I want you to think about this as food for thought. This year at the Feast of Tabernacles on the Jewish calendar, they will keep the 15th of the month of Ethanim, we know the Babylonian name is Tishri, a full day before the full moon actually occurs. So you can see on the slide, the full moon occurs a full day later on the 16th of the month. So this is the beginning here of what would be their holy day. So it begins at sunset, and that day ends completely at 6 p.m., and it occurs a full day later at 7:49 p.m. So if you were to go look at the new moon in Jerusalem, and you can get like the moon app, you will see that it will not be in the right phase. It will not be 100%. Slide number 8, please. This is the 2026 RNMC, Real New Moon Calendar. Fall holy day timing. So when we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, in October, the full moon occurs in the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the 15th of Enam, or Tishri. So what I'm showing is, yes, we begin at sunset here. This is the real new moon. This is the start of the first holy day, the 15th of Abib, and it occurs in the same 24-hour period. And I showed you this to give you confidence that we are in fact keeping the correct timing and therefore keeping God's appointed times. So the new moon nearest the spring equinox is not even a biblical principle, and it certainly cannot be found anywhere in Scripture. Intercalation is a reality we have to deal with, and when it comes to the lunisolar calendar, it's an encouraging and a comforting thing, because we don't have to sweat it. The decision is simple, straightforward, and it is made for us. We must adhere to the sun over the moon, or we will violate Scripture. Our God is precise, and not only with the creation itself, but with the timing of the worship of Him. Let God be true, and every man a liar. And for those who may be keeping the holy days with us for the first time, rest assured, this took years to come to this conclusion and to show purposely that we can show what we believe and what we practice is from the Scriptures.